We're able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the 21st chapter of the book of St. Matthew, beginning with the 33rd verse. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in your eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want to be here today. I don't want to give this sermon. Everything about this service has been crafted for what happened last Sunday. The only thing I really actually didn't have control over was the piece that the choir was going to be singing. That was chosen a few weeks ago, but it is very fitting. I'm tired of talking about this. It was just over a year ago that I stood right there and talked about the worst shooting our country had ever beheld by a single person. And here I am again talking about the worst shooting our country has ever beheld by a single person just over a year later. And I don't want to be here. I don't want to stand here and talk about this. But the truth is, I need to be here. Something like what happened last Sunday reaches out and affects all of us. It crosses the entire political spectrum, religious spectrum, socioeconomic spectrum, and it reaches out to every single person who calls themselves an American. And it's in those moments that we, as called pastors, called preachers, need to stand here and remind us of God's love and God's presence, in God's grace, and how to make sense of a world where a person can go and kill 58 people in the span of 10 minutes and injure over 500 more. As a pastor, when things like that happen in our world, I usually get two questions. One, how can God let something like this happen? And then two, is God even here? Does God even exist when something like this happens in our world? Jesus addresses this question, in a way, in our parable. The parable of the wicked tenants. As a parable, it is a complete allegory. It is a total metaphor for what people experience in life. This metaphor in particular today, we have a landlord who is God. We have slaves who are the prophets. We have the son who is Jesus. And we have the tenants who in Jesus' time were the church leaders. What this parable is meant to convey is that for many, many years, for centuries, it was believed that God only dwelt within the temple in Jerusalem, in the Ark of the Covenant, and that God was only present with people who kept that very specific covenant relationship, the people who kept Torah. And Jesus is there as God's hope for a broken world, to remind people that the hope of who Jesus is and who God is that God is actually present in all of us, that God cannot be confined to one place or with one group of people, but that God is everywhere and is in everything. And that God is always, always present. The church leaders in Jesus' time, they recognized this novel thing that was happening, that they were about to lose control of saying who God is, where God is, and how God is present in the world. They were losing the very thing that gave them power, and they saw that through Jesus. They saw how God was suddenly being exposed to everybody, and they were jealous, and they wanted to stop it from happening. They wanted to curb this new tide and hold on to the thing that gave them power. And so they plotted to kill him. But in doing so, they released the very thing that they were afraid of. The moment that Jesus went up on the cross, God's presence and God's victory over the things that cause us pain in this life was suddenly unleashed. This parable for us, it's a lesson. It's a lesson that we try to inhibit God's will in this world constantly with the things that we feel give us power. But no matter how often or how hard we try to inhibit the hope that is Jesus, the hope that is God in this world, no matter what, God is always, always present with us, in us, through us. God's hope for this world hasn't changed 2,000 years later. Jesus is right there inside each and every one of you, that wellspring of life, that divine spark, that goodness that exists in every single one of you, Jesus is right there shining through. All of those acts of kindness, all of those moments of unconditional love, all of those quilts, all of the ways that we share God's love and God's hope for this world, that is Jesus right there shining through all of you. God's hope hasn't changed for our world. God's message of continuing presence, it's always there, despite how we try to inhibit it. And we do. We try to inhibit that hope internally, in ourselves, by trying to grasp on to the things that we think give us power, by hoarding possessions and material objects, by letting our own anger and selfishness and brokenness consume us and turn us into people that we were never meant to be. Sometimes it happens outside of ourselves when we experience the sudden loss of a loved one or injury by others, or the greed and brokenness that we experience in the world around us when we witness an act of evil such as we did last Sunday. There are things in this world that are constantly trying to inhibit God's hope for all of us. And I don't want to talk today about where that evil comes from, but just that it is present and it is around us. And it is constantly trying to inhibit God's will for our lives. And it's in those moments, and I'm sure you've asked the question yourself, is God even here? And my hope is to direct us in those moments to see God, because God is always around us. And I've shared this before, but Fred Rogers, so delightfully known as Mr. Rogers, tells a story about when he was a kid watching the news, seeing disasters that had happened, and he looked at them with such fear. What a chaotic and crazy world we live in. And he would ask his mom, how scary is this world? And she would say, Fred, always look for the helpers. Every time you see something on the news, every time you see a disaster happening, always look for the helpers, because you will always, always see them. It's hard to see God in the moments of something as horrific as the shooting in Las Vegas last Sunday, but look for the helpers, because they were there, and the stories that have started to come out are such evidence of God's presence in this world, despite the chaos and the evil that we witness at times. I pulled out some of the stories that I found, and there were too many to name. One guy, Taylor Winston, a veteran, a Marine, right when the shooting started, he immediately grabbed everybody around him and pulled them out of the arena, the area, the outdoor area where the concert was happening. And he could have run. He could have taken off and found safety, but instead he started going around to every single truck, pulling on it. And finally he came to one of the big storage trucks for the sound systems, and he opened it up, and right there were the truck keys. And he got in and he started it, and he drove right back to the arena and started grabbing injured people and putting them in the trucks and then driving them to the hospitals. There was another woman, Dawn Marie Gray, who is an EMT, and she was there with her husband. And again, as the shooting started, these two people, they could have run. But they started finding anyone who was injured, and with her training, working on them, doing CPR, tending to wounds, and then communicating with first responders who needed what they had already done. They saved dozens of people's lives. And then Jonathan Smith was a guy who immediately, when the shooting started, pushed a fence down and formed a human chain and started pulling people out. And when he got this first group out, he ran in and just started picking people up as bullets were raining down behind him and carrying them to safety. He was eventually struck right in the chest and in the neck. He's going to survive, but he had a collapsed lung and a bullet in his shoulder that will stay with him for the rest of his life. A 30-year-old young man with his whole future ahead of him knew in that moment that he was called to go in there and just save people. And all of the first responders, the nameless people who were present, all of the donors who showed up and started giving blood, the way that our society has rallied around this moment to try to do what they can to help. I don't know where evil comes from. I don't know why people do terrible things. I don't even necessarily understand God's role in all of it. But I do know that God is present in everything. I know that God was present when that shooting started and while it was happening. I know that God has been present every day since. I know that God is here. You know, this is a moment where everybody looks up. Everybody pays attention. Everybody listens. But you know, there are those moments in your life too that the world doesn't notice, the things that you deal with on your own, those moments of pain and loss and suffering, the things that you might deal with silently, the things that maybe I as your pastor don't even hear about, but the things that make you question, is God even here? Look for the helpers. Look for the sources of love and compassion around you in your own lives. I know the world seems dark at times. I wish it didn't seem so dark at times. I look around this room and see God's presence in each and every one of your faces. I know that those moments come around when maybe you just don't see the light. And in those moments when you don't, when you individually can't see the light through the darkness, find it in those that are sitting here with you. Find it in those around you and let that light shine. But then please, if you still feel that light inside of you yourself, shine it to those who don't. Let them know that love still exists, that people can overcome barriers and be there for each other, that the hope that is Jesus Christ is present in this world through all of us. Let people know that God is here. In His name, amen.